congregation.
Here gathered a few of you and those listening at home this morning. Usually what is it that we say on Easter to each other? The Lord is risen. Indeed, that was anciently always the greeting that the Christians gave to one another on this special Lord's Day. And the reason indeed we are having to speak like that is what Psalm 126 records. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Could imagine that the disciples felt like that. Dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing, and they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, may that also be our portion today as we celebrate the rising and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I lead you in prayer and receive God's blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our opening psalter this morning will be 427. 427, and we will sing there of verses 1, verse 5, and 6. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. So 1, 5, and 6 of 427. Let us now hear the law of the Most Holy God and consider together what he has to say to us in how we are to love God above all and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we follow that with the singing of Psalter 40, verse 6. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. May I now ask you to turn to Matthew's Gospel. And we will start our reading actually in chapter 27 with verse 55. And then we'll read all the way to chapter 28, verse 10. So we begin our readings from the Scriptures, the Word of God from Matthew 27, verse 55. And many women, which were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple, and he went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in linen cloth, in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. The end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came, and he held them by the feet, and they worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So far, we will read from the gospel of Jesus' resurrection. Let us now together unite our hearts and seek the Lord in prayer. Blessed Lord God of heaven and of earth. Though in some ways we are together in circumstances that are gloomy and sad and worrisome, though, Lord, we are together here in some way outwardly like the disciples on this first Easter, scattered and separated, let that not hinder us today from hearing the message that spells hope, living hope, solid hope. And gracious God, take our minds away from all that can hinder us at this moment, as thou knowest what it is. And may we see and hear none but Jesus only. And not him only crucified, but risen from the dead. Lord, we must admit, and please make us all be one in that confession, that our misery and pain that we as a world are experiencing is self-inflicted and deserved. We have dared to dare thee, and we have rejected thy command from the beginning dawn of history. And Lord, we have embraced death over life. Oh, what fools have we been, and maybe still are. We have exchanged truth with a lie. We have chosen to worship the creature above thee, the Creator, Almighty, good God. And therefore, O sacred Three, thou would have done no injustice. Thou would have done no wrong in letting this globe become like a black hole in which we all will be swallowed up by death and the grave. And Lord, let that sink into our hearts also at this moment, so that we may begin to pay attention for the first time, or again in a deeper way, to the message thou brought through angels first, and then through thy own mouth secondly. No, Lord, thy hands are unstained. There is with thee no evil. Thou art holy and righteous in every aspect of thy character, in every deed of thy hand. And thou art letting us taste this bitterness of death and sickness due to our sin. Teach us. Please, Lord, make us agree that this is what we deserve. And yet that now we have so many reasons today to thank thee. Lord of glory, we thank thee for having come into this paradise turned cemetery as the Son of Man, as the last Adam, as the Savior God. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast humbled thyself to taste death, separation, in order to bring sinners back into thy heart and into thy bosom, as it were. That thou had made it possible through this death of Jesus that we may again be restored into communion with thee. And Lord, we pray that thou would stir our hearts to bless thee, even though it may only be stammering, and may maybe even filled with fear our hearts as well. But may that worship flow out of us, in which we acknowledge thee for thy gracious deeds. And Lord, therefore, to thee enable us to thee to flee and on thy help depend as we face the brokennesses of life, as we face the ugliness and the painfulness and the horribleness even in our own self and in all kinds of circumstances and situations that this world is filled with. Lord, help us and enable us then to look to Thee and to depend on Thee and to rejoice in the message that Thou, Lord Jesus, has risen from the dead. Thou hast proven Thyself to be trustworthy. Thy word, doubted and forgotten by the disciples, half believed and feared by thy enemies, has become true. Thou did rise from the dead. Thou hast proven to be faithful, O Lord Jesus. Thou hast proven to be almighty. Not only did thou raise Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the young man of Nain, from their death, thou hast raised thyself from the dead. Thou hast taken up thy life again as thou laid it down, as thou said thou would do. And thereby, Lord, thou hast proven that thou hast conquered every enemy. And the enemy who will defeat us all, that horrible and that dishonorable death. Gladden our hearts today. That wasn't mighty and almighty power necessary, Lord, for that to happen for Mary, Magdalene, and Mary, and the other women, and for John and Peter and James and all the other disciples. And we pray this morning also that Thou, O Lord, not only will instruct us as teacher, but also take hold of us as king. And not only then make us hear, but bring us to faith in Thy word spoken to us here or at home listening to Thee. And may our hearts, O God, as the poet says somewhere, may be facing the seasons of night and the doubts and the fears. May our hearts be instructed in Thy love and Thy promises and rest as we rejoice in this spiritual comfort. Minister especially, Lord, to those who are literally dying today. There will be thousands again, not only from coronavirus, but from all other kinds of sicknesses and diseases at the end of their life journey. Will Thou bring someone to the beds of those who have not heard the gospel? Will Thou bring someone, Lord, to such bedsides to carry the glad tidings of the Easter, that hearts may be glad in Thee, and that souls may learn to take their refuge to Thee even when death stares in their face, and may learn to rest in Thee. O, command deliverances, O King of glory, through all the preaching and preachers that today will go out also to bring this message. Clothe all of us, Lord, who are to be the messengers of these glad tidings of Thy Holy Spirit. And may even those at home of their families experience Thy presence. And let those houses be turned into sanctuaries where fathers and mothers and children and single people and lonely people may bow at Thy feet, as the women did when they met Thee on the way. Lord, will thou continue to remember those that are sick, those that are vulnerable, not only our elderly, but also some children in our church family, Logan and Juniper. But all of us are vulnerable, Lord. Let us not think that when we're healthy, that we're strong and unable to be touched. Please give us all a sense of realism, that our life is but a hand's breadth. Provide for our daily needs and strengthen us, Lord, in this day for a moment to be separated from all the worries and anxieties, and they can only be taken away when we may look to Thee. And so exalt Thyself. Lift us up from all earthly matters and make us taste something of the heavenly, of Thy goodness, of Thy love, and of Thy power. Hear us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next psalter is going to be 163. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek Thy face. I see the women in that, and the disciples, as they sought for Jesus, and in all their struggles and wilderness, they longed, no doubt, to taste His love once more. And they did get to on this day. So 163, let's sing all three verses. Dear congregation, a friend is someone who comes in when the world goes out. And that happens when all the world begins to leave Mount Golgotha. As they go slowly on to their homes again, leaving there hanging Jesus, and on each side a dying murderer. And Jesus had such friends in the last hour of his life. However, they stood in the shadows. There were some of them standing there on that mountain of Golgotha that we know. Mary, it says, and Mary Magdalene, and Salome, and there are some other women that are not named. But there's also two that were standing there that were never open disciples. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They had something in common. They were not only both leaders of the Sanhedrin, they were also both believers in Jesus. Their life of devotion and love that they began to show at this moment after Jesus has died is recorded for us in nearly all the gospel stories. It was costly what Joseph and Arimathea and Nicodemus did. Nicodemus was already prepared. He had 100 pound of spices with him. He had it with him, it says in the Bible. Joseph Arimathea wasn't quite that prepared. At least not with the linen, because Mark says he bought it on the way out from Pilate back to the grave. But he was prepared also. For he had prepared a sepulcher. No, the spices and the linen that they bought, and by the way, the linen that it is spoken of here, it is a clean linen cloth, and indicates in the Greek that word linen is expensive, cost a fortune, wasn't used normally to wrap the dead into. But there was another loss these two would have. What? They weren't allowed to participate in the Passover the next day. They touched a dead body and were unclean. Oh, that was no sacrifice for them. They also, no doubt, long term would have a cost. They would be ousted out of the Sanhedrin, as they had joined in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now I have a question for you and for me. Is Jesus this worthy to us as well? What's the cost of our devotion? What is the price we are willing to lay down for our association, confession, devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? These two men, they went far. And you notice that sometimes you find faith where you least expect it. Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea, we may assume they have talked together. We may assume that in secret they have shared their impressions. It says of Joseph Arimathea, he was a man who waited for the kingdom of God. I cannot imagine that they would have not talked, and that Nicodemus would have shared with him what he heard there in the night in John 3. And what was he? What did he hear in John 3? He heard one thing. that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. I do not know for sure. But I am beginning to wonder whether Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus had deeper understanding in Isaiah 53 than any of the other disciples had at this moment. And why? Well, you notice that Joseph Arimathea had hewn out a sepulchre in a rock. John said he also had a little garden around it. Where? Smack next to the most horrible place in Jerusalem, or outside Jerusalem. In the sight and in the sound of the place where criminals are crucified. And that wasn't the only time that this happened on the hill. Golgotha had been called the hill of a skull. No doubt it is littered with the results of those who have been crucified before. And right there, Joseph of Arimathea has prepared a grave and has put a little garden around it. Strange. You know that if you would have been a Jew, you would have never wanted to be buried outside of your hometown. And for Joseph, that was Arimathea. Certainly you would not want to be buried next to a hill of Golgotha. Can you see? God has been leading these men, and particularly Joseph, either by the hand of providence or by the eye of faith, to dare prepare for Jesus Christ a cemetery plot. Now, though all what they did, congregation, was undoubtedly a confession of love, it wasn't as much a confession of faith in the resurrection. That aspect we do not see them, at least in what we have recorded, confess. But it all changed on Easter morning. And I pray that God may pour in us the same love he poured into those men, and the same faith and joy that he gave to the disciples on the day of Easter. My text this morning, or not my text, God's word to you this morning is from chapter 28, verse 9 and 10. May I draw your attention particularly to those verses on this Easter morning. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and saying, all hail. And they came and they held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now this morning particularly, I'd like to dwell with you on verse 9. All hail is what Jesus said. And again, be not afraid. Congregation, the women have news. And what is the news that they have to carry today as the first preachers on this resurrection day? There's two things: that Jesus they buried rose from the dead. And secondly, that the Jesus they sought told them not to be afraid. And these are the two things that Jesus is saying to us this morning. That he is risen from the dead. And that those that seek him have absolutely no reasons to fear, but may be filled with joy as you contemplate this morning the message of this gospel of his resurrection. The women have news. As their feet are running, it says in this verse, go as they quickly, they departed quickly, it says in verse 8, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples' words. Whether it was the fear that made them run, or the joy that made them run, or both made them run, but they were running. Hastening away from the scene of this open grave and this message of the angels, they are running to share the news. Many thousands today experience what those women experienced. They had buried a day and a half before or so their beloved in the grave. Matthew writes about it. A wonderful chapter in their life has ended. And they thought, forever. Some of you have gone through this. When you seal the grave, in our days with the dirt, in their days with the stone, a chapter is closed, it isn't closed. There's something not closed when we bury our loved ones. There's something not ended. Death brings separation. Death brings this never again. Death brings a chaos of thoughts. Death brings unsettled feelings. Death brings sadness and tears. And these women have felt that. They are so disconsolate by all what has taken place. None of us are going to escape this. You look at your loved one next to you today. There comes a day, she or he won't be there. And you and I won't be there. At this relentless force of death taking generation upon generation into the earth again. The highlight of the Passover that they have just celebrated the day before has brought them no joy. All they could think about is this sweet voice that spoke to them with tenderness. While in his life, and also what they've heard, what he spoke on the cross, even that was tender. When he prayed, and when he ministered, and when he said something to his mother and to John. And with all those thoughts and all those feelings, there came a lot of fear. Fear of what? Are we wrong? Did we base our hope on someone who ends up again to be a vain hope? I mean, try to imagine, friends. These women thought this was the Messiah. Their hope has been stirred. Their heart has been filled with joy. They've experienced not only his goodness, but Mary Magdalene has experienced his power. As these seven devils were thrown out of her, they've all tasted something of this. And maybe now they're thinking, was all what the Anna said about 30 years ago and what Simeon said, was it not true after all? Was it what John the Baptist witnessed, behold him, the Lamb of God, and then the message he brought about him, not true after all? Maybe Mary's story about her conception, was it really true? And the shepherds, as they came out to tell what they had heard in the shepherds' fields, was it all emotion that now suddenly proved to be groundless, without hope? Now these are the struggles that these women have been struggling through together with the other disciples. And maybe it's not unlikely that there are such listening this morning here or at home that recognize this turbulence of heart, that recognize this unsettledness. Maybe you also feel fearful and you struggle with questions. And so they left the city. There's no hope left as their faith has sunk. No, Matthew writes that they were trying to finalize the burial rite on this morning. In chapter 27, verse 61, it's just such a little picture. When those men had closed the door of the sepulchre and departed, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And in verse 20, you read verse 50, and you read those women beholding afar off. Can you just picture them? Their arms are locked together. Their tears are dripping out of their eyes. There is just one big old cloud that sinks over them. And even on this Easter morning, that hasn't lifted anywhere. Bewildered, shocked. Trauma is the word I was even thinking of. For this was a hugely violent death. To see someone die in a bed, even if it's your loved one, is incomparable to seeing someone die of torture. As they thought, what happened? So these women are traumatized. And congregation, it is this framing of Easter that I want to just for a moment highlight before us. It is a painful reality that as it were begins to shine in the middle of this. That this Easter begins to shine in the middle of this painful reality of these women's lives and the disciples' lives. And isn't that so today? I mean, we're living today in an unbelievable world. We've never expected something like this. Here I sit with seven people or so in church, and you all sit at home, and we sit socially distant and separated from each other with all kinds of realities around us. Over 400,000 people sick with this virus. Thousands are dying today even of this. The whole cycle and circle of our life today is very much like what these women struggled with. We live in a broken world. An extremely painful world. If you look and listen around you, all you around here is groans and tears and fears and pain. And though most of us, of course, think about the coronavirus, I'm not even thinking about that, my friend. That's only a slice of our problem today. That's only a slice of the pain today. You know, I'm thinking of people that are healthy in their body, whose minds are ravaged, whose hearts are abused, whose wounds are deep and sore within, traumatized, broken. We live in a world where children and adults have died and are dying through horrible violence, through incredible abuse, through slavery and oppression. Yeah, we need to wake up. This world is a suffering scene, and what most of us do, and I'm looking at myself and you, we stick our head out of the window and we say, oh, this is terrible out there. And we pull our head back in the window and close the window. And live on in our little comfort zone. While the world is dying. And while multitudes are suffering. And we're not sharing the message of the gospel of Easter. The only hope in the message of this messy, sore, painful, sore world is Jesus is risen. And you say, well, why do I remind you of all this depressing stuff on this Easter morning? Well, because Jesus rose in the very context of this symbolic world, right next to Golgotha, right there in the sight and smell of the cross hill Golgotha, stands a sepulchre. In this horrifying hill, the place of a skull, the place of injustice, in the midst of a dark, foul, ungodly, horribly depraved world, where they crucified the Lord of glory. And dearly beloved, in that scenery, there comes a music from heaven. Listen good. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. He is risen from the dead. Do you hear it? He rose from the dead, the angel said. He is not risen. He is not here, for he is risen. Fear not ye, for ye that seek Jesus, which was crucified, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Hear me? Jesus is alive. Do you hear me? Jesus is risen. Do you hear it? What God is saying to this angel? Jesus is risen. There is nothing here that could stop him from overcoming the evil of death and torture and pain and abuse, and trauma, and brokenness, and separation, and death. Nothing. Jesus is risen. Against all expectations, against all reason, beyond all reason, contrary to reality. Imagine tomorrow waking up and opening your newspaper or your newsfeed, and there's the headline, coronavirus has disappeared. That is nothing compared to what is the headline on Easter morning. He is risen. Beloved, Jesus is risen. From the impossible has he returned. From the death has he come out. Jesus is risen is a message of hope in this self-destructing world. We have, through our own foolish, wicked act, turned this gorgeous Garden of Eden into one large, giant cemetery. You know where you live? You live in a cemetery. You built your house on a cemetery. You raise your families on a cemetery. You build your businesses on a cemetery. And soon it opens up and you sink in it. That's the reality. And what a sad reality. But in the midst of that, there comes one out of the grave, out of the cemetery of this world. Jesus is risen. That's the message they say the angels are bringing. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. The corruption that takes everyone down who has entered into death did not even touch him. No, the psalmist said it. Thou wilt keep my soul in hell, and I will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The corruption never touched Jesus. This is incredible. This never happened before. Lazarus stank. He didn't. Jesus didn't. He's risen. He's risen, friends. He's come over this corrupt, out of this grave. He was not disgraced by the power of death. He was wrapped in linen cloth, and the whole cemetery sepulchre, when it opened up, it wafted out what? The perfume of the spices. 1,200 ounces of spices were placed in that cemetery by Nicodemus. And the whole open grave is not smelling. It is smelling. It is perfuming. Beloved, what a beautiful message. in this stinking world, in this so sour place that we live in. Yes, there is so much beautiful left, but it's all on shaky ground, isn't it? We could have a funeral this week, two of one of us with coronavirus. There's nothing certain about this life anymore. Never was. But now we sure see it. But come, smell. Listen, He is risen. He has overcome death. He is alive. He has thwarted. He has conquered. He has demolished death. He has swallowed up death in victory. And that is the message of the Almighty. And come, maybe there is one of you listening saying, I'm facing something that's irreversible. I have been broken so badly. I have such deep wounds. I face such an unbreachable gap between God and me. I'm not only broken in myself, I have broken my relationship with God. Maybe you sit there this morning in your sinkhole. Maybe you've been brought into a sinkhole by the horrible deeds of others. And maybe you feel and face the sins that you've done in your life and you say, oh my God, how could I ever do this? And I've done it. Listen, He is risen. He, the Almighty, has reversed the irreversible, has changed the unchangeable. There's no obstacle, there's no need, there's no brokenness, there's no breach, there's no sin, there's no guilt, there's nothing here. And nothing in you, and nothing by us, that is too large, too deep, too broken for Jesus, who is risen from the dead. Look unto me, He says to you, all the ends of the earth. You may be as far from the end, as far away from Him, in whatever you are, circumstances. Look up. Jesus is risen. Let's sing together. Psalter 391. And morning lights the eastern skies. O Lord, Thy mercy show. On Thee alone my hope relies. Let me Thy kindness know. 391, verses 1, 2, and 3. I do not know why we didn't sing the last verse, so let me read it. For thy name's sake, O gracious Lord, revive my soul and bless, and in thy faithfulness and love, redeem me from distress. Wouldn't that have been somewhat the cry and the prayer of these women as they sought Jesus? And that brings me to my second thought, my friends. These women have news. And the news is that Jesus told them not to fear. That Jesus whom they sought, they do not need to fear. You hear it several times in this chapter. First the angels in verse 5, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. And then again in verse 9, as Jesus meets these disciples, he says, all hail. And they bowed down and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them again, don't be afraid. Put away this fear. Don't fear. And they are to bring the message to the disciples. Fear not. That's what God is saying this morning to you, who are like these women. Listen to Jesus saying, fear not. First he used a messenger, a preacher, an angel. Then he said it himself. Ah, these women. Everything in them was fear on this Easter morning, as they walked out to this gravesite. They're afraid about the horrible deeds done by the religious leaders, and what's going to happen to them next? They who follow Jesus, who stuck with him, what's going to happen to them? They're vulnerable, weak women. What are they doing? They are afraid about the future. How will they face the future without their master, without their beloved leader, their teacher, their prophet? They're afraid. Undoubtedly, they may be afraid about the fear that they deceived themselves with something that now proves to be nothing but a hoax. A man that they thought was the Messiah, but proved to be perhaps not at all to be a Messiah. And as they walked to the gravesite, they get the greatest fright. Why? They see the stone rolled away. Mary Magdalene doesn't even go far. She turns around and heads back in the city immediately. While the other, slowly and shuffling closer and closer. What is going on? What has happened? Fear fills their heart. Oh, these poor women. They stand there trembling from head to toe. Fear not, women. First thing they hear, fear not, you women. His message, you don't have any need to fear. The others do. Those men do. Those leaders do. Those people cried away with him do. But you don't. There's no ground for you to fear. At all. Why don't they need to fear? Well, he says, I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified and he's risen. But I know that. This angel says, I know that you seek Jesus. How did they know that? How do the angels know that? Do the angels know that about you? They do. Or they know you don't. Why? Well, they see you sitting here. They see you living everywhere. They see you in your private room. They see your private devotions. They hear your prayers if you say them out loud. They see what you write down. They see you hear your conversations. The angels are there. And oh, they have been already singing in heaven about these women. Why? Wow, these women were seekers of Jesus. They loved Jesus. They repented from sins. They have a new life that they've seen. The angels have seen that. They are not ignorant of this. And they may say on the basis of the command of God that they have received, undoubtedly go tell these women not to fear anymore. Congregation, friends, they don't need to fear. So you don't need to fear either. If this woman's life is the profile of your life, and that's the joy of Easter. That's the incredible beauty of this message this morning that I may bring to you. Fear not. Here I'm standing as God's messenger, just like the angels on the Easter morning, and I may say to all those of you who are seeking Jesus out of a heart that loves Him, that needs Him, you don't have to fear. There is no reason to fear for you. Why not? For Jesus is risen. What you don't know, women, you are having a tremendous love for Jesus, but you have quite a misunderstanding about Him. And maybe you do too yet. Maybe you can't deny the love for Jesus. Maybe you can't deny you need Jesus. But do you understand Jesus? Do you understand who He is and what He did and what has happened? What is their misunderstanding? And maybe it's yours. Well, women, you don't know that your rabbi that you've been following for these 3 years is not only your prophet, he's your priest. He's your priest who is come to do the priestly work. No, not only is he your priest, women, you are not understanding. He's not only your priest, he's the Lamb of God as well. No, women, you don't understand. My friends, you understand. Not only is he the priest, not only is he the Lamb of God, his death on the cross was his sacrifice for you, for your sins. See, that's what Easter means. Women, you don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to be afraid. And see, as Jesus comes to these women as they're running home, he meets them and they fall down at his feet. And the first thing what Jesus says is, he second what the angel said. Do not be afraid. There's no need to fear. Jesus is risen for you. Now that's not a simple and a beautiful message for all those who truly seek Jesus as these women. Take a close look at the profile of these women. Do you esteem the Lord Jesus and His revealed will as far as you understand? A question. Do you love the Lord Jesus even though you know Him so little, and even though you may serve Him so poorly? Will you love Him? Does your heart go out after Him? You miss Him. And He doesn't show or speak. Do you feel like Mary Magdalene when you hear a sermon in which Jesus is not preached and you say, oh, please show me where you've laid Him? Is your heart heavy because you don't see Him? Do you trust the Lord Jesus even though you fear to call it trust? Now, these are questions you must answer this morning. You must answer them now. Do you trust Him for who He is and for what He's made known of Himself as far as you know what you know? Yeah? Is that trust in your heart? Do you seek Him to be your Savior only? Nothing, nothing but Him only. Do you love those who love Him and who seek to walk uprightly, such as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and all the other disciples, though they are indeed failing men? Come, friends, let me sum it all up. Does it live in your heart? Does it live in your heart? To whom else shall I go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I know of no other. I want no other than Thee alone. Is it? Then hear what God is saying to you this morning. Do not be afraid. Hear Him? Do you hear what Jesus says? Be not afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear. A few moments later, and Jesus, they loved, met them in person, you see. And what He say to them as they are beholding Him there, standing suddenly in front of Him? He says, all hail. What does that mean? That means rejoice. Will I rejoice now? Here I am. The one you thought was dead and gone, and it was all over. Rejoice, women, put away these fears and grasp my message of the resurrection. And oh, they would have grasped it later more and more. But what is the message of His resurrection? What is now the message this morning? Come, seekers of Jesus, listen now, go. You know what He's saying this morning in the resurrection? I have put away your sin forever. I have paid the price of your sins completely. Yes, what happened there on the cross was I was wounded for your transgressions. You see my back there on that cross? All those stripes were to heal you from your sin. I have blotted out all your transgressions. Come, children of God. Come. Let me go a little lower. Seeker of Jesus. You don't need to call yourself a child of God maybe this morning. You seeker of Jesus, hear what Jesus says to you this morning. Don't be afraid. I was sacrificed to pay for all your sin. And it was accepted by my Father. And that's why I stand here in front of you, alive. I've risen. And I was raised at the same time. No, fear not. You're not imagining what I'm saying. You're not stealing when you believe me. When you are a seeker of Jesus, you're not stealing any comfort this morning, friends. Don't let anybody tell you that. When you believe this morning what Jesus says, you are not presuming. When you tremble at His word, and when your heart pants after God, and when your soul is bowed down by your sins, and when His loving kindnesses are more than life to you, then you are not stealing. When this morning you embrace this message, no, the messenger, Jesus Himself, and rest your heart on His feet. Fear not. Be not afraid to trust my promises. You see, they went with haste. I'm sure they ran on. And this time not with fear, as they did the first part of their running. They came with haste. And they began to share the message and share the news. Come, friends, if your heart has been nourished this morning, if your soul heard this morning what Jesus said to you, then let your feet run today, especially in this day and age we live today, there are people in this world who need to hear out of your mouth. Be a preacher. Even if you're a woman, here were the first preachers on Easter, and they were women. Oh, they had no ordained office. You understand what I mean. But go and let your tongue be a preacher, especially to the many around us that are gripped with fear and despair and sorrow and heavy-hearted. And no, most of them are not at all troubled about their sins. Not at all. Only about the results of sin, about the fears of what they're going to lose. But still they need to hear the same message. They need to hear the testimony of the church that God is real and His word is true and the message is a message of hope. The truth always remains that a lost sheep needs to be led rather than to be driven. And though there's many lost sheep around us that have no need of a shepherd, they don't feel the need of their sin, they need to be led. And what could lead them? Oh, the testimony. Like the women. Behold, He's risen. He is alive. He has conquered this impossible of death. Oh, that is indeed true, that you catch many bees with sweet honey. You know that a light in the darkness always allures. And you know that a fire always kindles more fire. Come on, Church of God. Let's speak about the Easter gospel to whatever ear we find in this week before us. The people at the gas station, the people in the Walmart that is loading the groceries in your shopping car, in your car. Come on, let's find the audiences that are all over the place that need to hear what? What you heard today. About the Lord. Go quickly and tell others about this great news that Christ has conquered death. That the Almighty is able to straighten what is crooked. That the Almighty is able to free what is broken. That He is able to heal what is wounded. That He is able to cheer what is saddened. That He is able to ransom what is guilty before God in all His holiness. And that's the message we are to bring as children of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty, what a beautiful message Thou hast given to the seekers of Jesus. Not fear. And now, Lord, enable us to believe the message of this gospel of Thy resurrection from the dead and the gospel implications of it, that there is no need to fear those that seek Jesus, even if we seek Him in the wrong place. Let it be a surprising Sabbath day. O God, as we go, and as our feet run, maybe still mixed with fear and joy to open our mouth, meet us also. Let us hear Thee all hail. Let us, O God, hear Thy word to us. And prepare hearts. O God, unsettle the world's comforts, that they may begin to look for the real comfort. Let this whole scenario, this whole reality that we are facing every day, open minds to begin to seek outside of themselves and outside of their securities and vanities in the Word of God. And lead thou then sinners, O God, unto thyself today, even through the testimony of thy preaching people. So hear us and answer us, and enable us to raise our hearts with the closing psalter that we may sing today in glory of thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 422. My mouth, we'll sing verse 1, 5, and 6. My mouth shall sing for A, thy tender mercies, Lord. And then verse 5 and 6 of 422. receive now the blessing of the Most High, and let us go together in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.